get that baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Cheddar Park.
Some movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It does sound familiar.
It's hilarious. Hello! I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cole.
Oh, you bite your tongue if this does not hold up.
Cream corn tonight.
Cream corn tonight.
That should be good corn time. It's a movie. Just waiting for the big giveaway at 9.
Happy New Year, Robert.
Happy New Year Saturday to you.
Happy New Year Saturday to you as well. How's the New Year treating you so far?
It's pretty good. We had a lot of the country. I had a pretty frigid time. We didn't get much snow, but now we're back to balmy 20s.
Balmy 20s?
Yeah. I think you guys are getting a lot of rain still, are you? Or is that done?
No, it's still happening. It's slowed down a little bit. We've had some sunshine yesterday. I'm slipping into a Southern California weather reporter. So a lot of this precipitation and moisture that you're seeing push up out of the south is going to probably blow over to the Midwest by around 12 tomorrow. You're going to see some light precipitations, high of 56, low of 42. And that's actually an accurate report. We're seeing highs of 56 and lows of 42s this week.
Well, there you go. So you LA people, you're like, it's either a drought or a flood. You can't have...
it is. Parts of Northern California are getting some flooding, but Southern California is hilarious because it's just light rain for a few days. But, you know, and I grew up in the East Coast, so rain, we've been through hurricanes. This is like no thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, with Angelinos, instant idiot, just add water and you can't drive. But all the news reports are like, cyclone rain bombing California. I'm like, it's just water. It's not even torrential downpours. It's like a light, you know, for a few days or something.
A mist. Drizzling. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like we're getting pounded with heavy. There's no flooding. Yeah. It's just, it's amazing. Everyone jumps to terror.
It's slightly more than the universal mist that they spray during the hot days.
They make it sound like the mist. The Stephen King was like, something in the mist took John Lee.
Who knows what's coming out of the LA mist? Well, you never know.
The Mist, the movie, speaking of that, was polarizing for me in a lot of circles because I read the short story. It was in one of King's books, and I really enjoyed it. And when the movie came out, I was very excited, and I really liked the movie. And then I was at like a screening, not a screening party, but we were like watching the movie at somebody's house, and somebody brought it up or something. And it's like, that was a terrible, terrible movie. I was like, what? I get if you don't like it, but I wouldn't say terrible. And then people I've talked to over the years, they either think it's great or like it missed the mark. I don't know. What do you think of The Mist?
Actually, so my encounter with The Mist goes way back to when I was a teenager. There was a radio drama that they made of The Mist, which I listened to that before I ever read the short story.
Oh, and that's really exciting.
I like the radio drama better than the actual movie. So, yeah. Because it's using your imagination a little bit and so forth more than what we got in the movie. But so once I did see them, I'm like,
yeah. The bar was set.
Yeah. It's hard. I wish it might have been better if it's completely no names. So you really don't know. You know, I kind of like those aspects better. Like when you put a big group together, I think we know who's going to make it to the end and so forth. But it was fine. You know, I'll give it.
Yeah.
That's my review. It's fine.
It was fine. Like Children of the Corn. Is it good? It's fine.
It's fine. It knows when to end, right? Mid-sentence, you know.
Right. I do like radio dramas, though. I feel like they're an underrated media. Oh, they should be, like, used more. They are exciting. And you can listen to them like a podcast.
The Star Wars radio dramas were great. And I'm curious. I feel like they should make a comeback, you know, since we got people are very podcast and audio heavy. I think radio dramas would be a good bring back.
Yeah. I think it should happen. Just to crowbar something about The Mist, I thought like it was I think it was 2007. The effects were pretty good. Like they had a good budget for that. And they left some stuff out of the short story that they could have put in. And then they took some stuff out that, okay, it probably wouldn't have fit. Like, Amanda was her name. The chicken, The Mist.
Yeah. Kind of. Was she the non-wife?
Lori Holden.
Interest. Yeah.
Yeah. She was. They like had an affair in the book and they did it in the movie, which I'm like, yeah, that works. Because if you think about it, you're really just stuck overnight, two nights in a store.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, it was kind of weird, but I thought like the monsters were pretty good in there.
Yeah. You know? It was the less you saw, obviously, kind of made it creepier. Yeah. That, that's why I like Shadows in the Mist worked much better than once they started flying around.
Right.
You know,
right.
Or just a tentacle, even though the tentacle was kind of, now it's kind of bad CGI, but yeah. I like that. Left more to your imagination than just actually seeing the entire monster or whatever happened to be. So
the unknown is what makes it scarier. I mean, in a lot of ways, like that new Troll movie that was on Netflix, that they really didn't have any budget for effects, so they kind of left a lot of it out. And you're like, oh, it works. And then you see the thing and you're like, oh.
Mm-hmm. I bowed out after 15 minutes.
Oh, you watched it?
But I tried to, because I thought, okay, let me give this, you know, whatever. And then the scene I bowed out was, because, you know, it's like a 23-year-old woman. And then it was like 90s cliche where they bring, you know, you bring her into the top secret. You know, she's the only one in the room. And she goes, what are you guys talking about? This is, you know, blah, blah. And they're like, you don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, and like, why is she there? And she was even saying, you know, why am I here? You know, and then she goes, wait a second. You know, the neuro waves, you know, whatever happens to be. And I'm like, no, I'm not sitting. No, I just like,
I think I bailed out too at that point. And then I saw something on like online or something about it. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to like plow through it one night. And I watched it with the English subtitles. And it was, I mean, I watched it with the English
dub.
Yeah, and it was unwatchable. So I switched to subtitles, and it made it a little bit better.
Okay.
But exactly what you said, where they're like, it's like this top secret Norwegian bunker, and like, what's going on?
Yeah, it's a one step above sci-fi original, but I'd like, no, I can't.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah. Right, and they have like all this. They try to make like a love story later on with the girl, and like. One of the commander, and they're like on the cell phone together, like, he's coming your way, brace for battle. I'm like, why does she have like orders over these? I don't know.
Yeah,
but
she, it's always
funny
that
you watched it.
She's kind of like, what's Olivia Munn's character in The Predator? You know, like,
right.
We have to go grab this, you know, like, but my kid, you know, like, just stop. You know, you're not that important. You could have told us on via Zoom what. the issue is here, you know.
Exactly. But I guess that's a good segue into what you've been watching. So I've currently been watching troll movies on Netflix, which was rough.
It any troll movie is rough. Troll 2. Oof.
Oh yeah, we're going to Neelbog for vacation. Let's piss all over dinner.
Even though I should have gone to some of those locations when I was in Utah, but I did not. But
oh, is that where it was filmed?
Yeah. I think it was a little far for my travels at that point. But
I first saw Troll 2 as a kid, like 11 years old. It was on some movie channel in the summer. And even as a kid, like a dumb kid, I was like, this sucks. Like, this is terrible. And then I realized when I got older how bad it was, that it was like so bad it's good.
Yeah.
And
you
rewatch it and you're like, whoa. I mean, it's just the costumery. The wardrobes, the makeup, it's amazing.
Everything. Yeah. So it's a very watchable bad versus other bad.
There's no trolls in it.
Yeah, actually there is no.
There's no trolls in that movie at all.
Oh.
And the Italian director, you remember from the documentary, thinks it's like this amazing masterpiece.
Yeah, I remember he didn't quite understand the laughter in the audience. And it got offended at one point versus those that kind of embrace it, you know, those that, you know, pick up their Razzies, you know, themselves.
Right. Good sports about it. He wasn't having it.
No.
But, okay. So, aside from those, I haven't rewatched Troll 2, but, I've been doing just rewatches. I've been on a mafia movie bender the last week. So I rewatched Godfather, Goodfellas, Donnie Brasco, The Irishman, and not a mob movie, but I rewatched Flint Town, the documentary about Flint, Michigan.
Okay.
Which is
the Irishman, did you have 6 days off? My gosh.
6 days off, I did. I did. That is a segmented movie. It's like an hour before bed, and then you pick it up.
You doze off. And yeah. I was just talking about Goodfellas because we have some accent lighting. I call it Martin Scorsese lighting in our building.
Oh, really?
Where it's like a super bright spotlight and then darkness and super bright, you know, because that's.
Oh, yeah. You know,
that's, I always call that Scorsese lighting. But
oh, yeah, that's cool.
Typical Goodfellas and Casino. But
right.
Yeah, Irishman, I only gave a one watch and that was enough for me. So was it better the second time or?
I thought so.
Yeah.
I got past the length of the movie and I just kind of segmented it. I appreciate it a little bit more.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a really well done movie. It's not the masterpiece people say it is. It's not like his opus or anything, but to see those guys on screen together, I guess. And a lot of it takes place in Philadelphia. So I know a lot of the areas that's supposed to film at, I feel like they got it right. So I enjoyed it, but yeah, it's not in his like top three movies or anything.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah. It's no Goodfellas, which obviously
it's no Departed.
Departed.
I love the Departed one-liners. Like they're not supposed to be funny, but it's like Gangs of New York, another Scorsese movie. There's these lines like in Departed where he's like, "Fuck it, I'd rather turn in my papers. The world needs plenty of bartenders, 2 weeks with pay." It's like not. It's just like Alec Baldwin. I could watch him all day in The Departed being him.
Yeah, I need to rewatch that. It shows up every once in a while. And
well, if you watch the deleted scenes in The Departed, and they show them filming locations, you can hear Sean Penn from Mystic River screaming in the back, "Where's my daughter?" It's all.
I still want to make that metaverse, shared universe cut of Boston. Somebody needs to just do a Boston Blu-ray of
right. And whenever you go by the Franklin Park Zoo or whatever that was, you always hear him asking where his daughter is. Like tourists, like sit down, listen.
Our tourists do that. I'm sure location enthusiasts start yelling that out.
Yeah. What have you been watching? Anything good?
Kind of a mix. So I had a couple days off for the holidays. So I kind of did some new stuff and watched some old stuff. I rewatched Happiness. And so I don't know if you're familiar with that. Hard to find. It's not a part of me. It's like, it should be a better film than it is. And I rewatched it. I'm like, oh, it's not. It wanted to be better. But it was pretty, I say not controversial, but it has some controversial themes, I'll say.
Is this the one from 1998?
Yeah, Todd Solondz.
I haven't seen it. It's controversial?
There's controversial elements, let's say. So molestation and so forth. And Jane Addams is fantastic. And, of course, you can't go wrong with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
Dylan Baker is really good. But and it's one of those things that goes on. So I'm like, I can't remember how it ends. It went on a little too long. I'm like, oh, yeah. But anyway, so it's a once every 10 years. I was like, wait a second. I can't remember everything. But anyway,
yeah.
So that was on my list. I did a binge of Interview with the Vampire, the new, I say new series, because I think it was last year. Obviously, it was last year.
Oh, yeah. How is that?
I actually enjoyed it quite a bit. So I don't have a super love of the original film or the book. And actually what started it is, I think on Tubi was Queen of the Damned at the time. And I was like, how bad was it really that bad? I'm like, whew, it was. It was one of those where I'll watch it and I'm like, oh, I need to go make something to eat. But you don't pause it, you know?
See, I'm curious about that because I saw that once and it was theatrically, but I was a dumb kid. So I was like, it's fun. It's edgy. I you know, but I never rewatched it. Is it really terrible?
It's just not worth, you know, like, character acting wise, it's just not very
It's
good
no thing. Showgirls 2, Pennies from Heaven.
Nothing. I would probably watch Showgirls 2 again before I sat through Queen of the Damned.
That's a tough sell.
It is a tough sell, but the new series actually, they follow, they it's a little bit a la carte from the book, but I think they kind of do it about right. And I think it benefits from being drawn out a little bit and expanded and have a lot of time to kind of see these kind of characters through and so forth. But and I think there's going to be a season 2, so I'm kind of looking forward to that. But so I do recommend that. Indie wise, I watched Red Rocket, which what's his name from? He was MTV VJ, wasn't it? Simon Rex.
Oh, Simon Rex
from the Scary Movies. Yeah. So
of course.
So I don't know if you saw the previews for it. It literally looks like it was made in 1995.
Yeah. Yeah. I just saw the previews for it. I was curious about it.
Total indie film. And it's one that goes on probably a little too long, but he does a really good job in it. And I have a love of indie film, and kind of, it just looks like it was made for Sundance in 95. So,
Wow.
Yeah. So, enjoy that. And it does take a turn at one point that I was like, how is he going to get out of this? And do you want him to succeed or not? But anyway, so that was good.
Interesting.
Glass Onion, which we all watched.
Yeah, of course. Knives Out movie.
Yeah. Did you watch Glass Onion? Okay. So no. I won't get it. I made the mistake of stopping halfway through to do something. And I remember I came up and as my sister, I'm like, I feel like he's playing a different character, you know, like it's not the same as this, you know, but there was a reason for it that I kind of.
Was it one of those things where you walked out at the moment you shouldn't have? Like if you did it 10 minutes earlier, it would have been fine.
What I should have done is treated it as a movie, which sometimes I do, where I just stop and do nothing except watch it and not just do it in bed or have it on the second screen or something like that. So, cause I think it would have been better. So it's a, you know, I love some of the classic Agatha Christie movies. So it is kind of it's certainly better than the Agatha Christie remakes that we've received lately, you know, Death on the Nile and
I know
Murder on the Orient Express. So those are too entrenched in time period and just doesn't work. I feel this actually could have benefited by adding two more characters to the mix. They should have actually expanded that a little bit, but it's a good watch. And there's some little fun Easter eggs here and there, or I guess Easter egg clues and so forth, but I'm still not a fan of Rian Johnson, but
not buying it.
I kind of like the film, and then I watched this behind the scenes thing, and he's very proud of himself. And I think that ego throws me a little bit. Like at one point he goes, he literally says directing. And I'm like, Spielberg doesn't.
Yeah. Go come on. And tout you didn't himself make E.T. Let's calm
yeah,
down.
On how and complimenting himself on how he did everything. And so I was like, that kind of still rubs me the wrong way. So,
That would too.
Yep. Kajillionaire. I watched, I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah. Yeah. How is it?
I liked it. I can't remember how I came across it. And then I was like, I remember seeing a preview at the time. And Richard Jenkins, who I love, Deborah Winger, who really doesn't do too much.
No.
And Evan Rachel Wood. And same thing. It's an independent movie, but obviously you have those stars. It's really not. It is independent. It's not a Marvel movie.
I love Deborah Winger.
Yeah. And I did. I was like, is that her? I didn't recognize her quite at first. And so,
does she look dramatically different than you would expect?
She has long straight hair and is just using a different voice. Evan Rachel Wood is using a completely unrecognizable voice. She says
on purpose?
She says that's her actual voice.
What does it sound? Oh, now I got to watch it.
Yeah. So you just probably watch and it was like, and then she goes that when you learned how to act or whatever, she uses kind of that voice or whatever. But she said, and I was like, I'm like, you would not have made it.
Sounds like she's pulling a Madonna with the British accent.
Maybe.
This is how I actually talk. Yeah, no, it's not.
I was like, is she pulling our leg? And I don't know. But so I liked it. And it reminded me a couple of other kind of indie films. So
yeah, that's cool.
Terror Train 2.
Yeah, you were talking about that. You were excited for this.
A Tubi original. It's pretty obviously it was shot back to back and literally could have been shot simultaneously because obviously they use the same sets and so forth. The difficult part is I said what they're doing, you know, where the survivor (parentheses) come back to face their fears, but you could kind of it's been 3 months, you know, it's not Laurie Strode coming back after 20 years or 40 years.
It's right. It's not the kids from It going back to Derry.
It's the next season.
it's 3 months.
Yeah. And I was like, and they had a couple I thought it was this person, but not enough to say. And then it's probably the older I get, I'm like, these kids, come on.
Come on. The timeline is funny to me a lot of times when movies do the lapse. depending on how quick or how long it's been. Because if it's shorter, like you mentioned, 3 months, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
And then if it's like 10 years later, like remember the movie Law Abiding Citizen with Gerard Butler and Jamie Foxx?
Yep.
They cut 10 years later, and I'm like, they look the exact same. I mean, not even like a little bit of gray in the hair.
Yeah.
It's, they, come on, guys. You know, like it didn't have to be 10 years. It could have been like a year or 5 years, but they're like 10 years later. And I'm like, oh, you guys, come on.
Like, did a little something where everybody has, you know, straight hair, then it's curly. Or like,
right. Oh, or just do like, the, you get a haircut. Like a lot of movies and shows, they do like, they have longer hair and they're like, well, we were focused on the hair, so we don't care about anything else. I buy it.
What I get mad is when they have like their real hair for, you know, the opening, you know, you know, flashback scenes, and then they use a wig for the rest of them. I'm like, no, use their real, you know, like
right.
Their real hair is better, you know.
Yeah, yeah, just keep always, the real hair.
Almost always tell wigs, and even obviously Avatar, the first one, is my the biggest sin. I was like, they have the most horrible wigs throughout the entire movie. That I was just like, come on, you had the money.
Right. This could be done.
Yeah. It can't. Like Scream 3, Neve Campbell.
Right, right. Perfect example.
Can't tell. Can't tell it's a wig at all.
Cannot.
Jamie Lee Curtis, Halloween 2. I'm kidding.
Perfect.
Perfect wig.
Flawless.
So, I watched that's not on my kind of best of 22, but I put it here. Don't Worry, Darling. So I kind of avoided this.
Yeah.
Because I didn't. This is where I feel old. What's that singer's name that's in it? Harry Styles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like.
I do too.
I was who? Like, I don't need. He actually did a decent job. And I went in not knowing too much about the movie and I actually enjoyed it quite a bit.
Oh, nice. It's nice when you slip into something like that and then you're like, oh, it was kind of a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. But I did make a point to make it a theater, home theater watch where no stopping lights are out.
So how does that work with you? So you have a nice entertainment setup for watching movies and things. If you watch it on like your big crazy TV screen, are you, is that like a true theater watch for you?
Yeah.
Versus like what, like you do it like a laptop or in bed or something?
Yeah, in bed is kind of my, you know, like watching Terror Chain Tree, and I just watched it in bed before I went to
so
bed.
If you watch something on, if Robert's watching something on the big screen, that's it. You're invested the whole way through. You
watch it on the big OLED.
I like that. You respect it. It's a movie theater.
All lights are off and we are not stopping. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good system. That way you're like dedicated to it versus like Darby O'Gill will not be watched on the 4K TV. I'm guessing.
I did not have the OLED at that point, so there was nothing I could do.
Ooh, sounds like really,
so sounds could like be. Who knows?
Darby O'Gill. I'm still waiting on Disney to open up Darby O'Gill Land.
One day.
One day.
Yeah, maybe they'll get rid of. they'll redo Transformers, kind of like they redid Back to the Future to Simpsons. They'll turn it to Darby O'Gill.
Yeah, they'll
three
it up.
The third dimension.
It's just amazing that. Darby O'Gill, people like you and I know that movie and we can relate, and then some people have never heard of it. It's like one of those, I mean, it has Sean Connery in it, but it was not one of his, it was like one of his first roles. So it's like, it's out there, but it's amazing.
Put it in the Disney comment box.
Please do. Okay, so this is a good segment, Robert. These are the your picks of best honorable mentions and worst films of 2022. I've seen, I think, about six of these, so I'll just chime in. But your list is very, it's very robust, so I feel like you should take the lead on this. And
the big asterisk is, these are just what I've seen. I feel like when I was looking, I was like, oh, I've not seen quite a few yet, as we kind of go through this. But
it's a good solid list. So what do you want to start? You want to start off with the best, like what are the best films you've seen?
Yeah. And these aren't, and my pick the best is like, oh, I love this film, but it's just like out of 2022, these are the ones I enjoy. So I did put The Batman because, that kind of took me by surprise a little bit when I saw it in the theater. I thought, oh, I actually kind of enjoyed it from beginning to end.
Yeah. And also, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't own it, you know, but
yeah, I think The Batman, as far as in the Batman franchise, is the best standalone movie with all of the characters as a whole. I don't know if that makes any sense. So, for example, like Batman Returns, I think is more entertaining and fun. Heath Ledger is the best character ever as far as the Joker in a Batman movie. But this movie with the Batman, the Riddler, Paul Dano's the Riddler, Penguin as a collective whole, it's the best movie. There's just so many good working parts that make it like great.
Yeah. And it would make me look forward to seeing another one.
Yeah.
Which the Nolan ones, I was like, that's not.
Yeah. It was time.
Yeah, it was time. And they actually, all of them end up going camp. I mean, Dark Knight Rises to me was.
Yeah.
Pretty camp. Yeah. Yeah. It was just a step away from.
Nipples.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, there wasn't too much. And just like the outlandishness of it, you know, like the bomb going, did he swim back? I don't know. Like there was just, we were well beyond reality by.
Well, the cops came out of the tunnel after months, perfectly shaven and healthy. And it's like, okay.
We missed that scene.
Walk across the ice. It doesn't freeze like that. Not like that.
No. This year, 2023, it would, because.
Of course.
That's before global warming was in full effect. So.
Yeah. But yeah, I agree with you.
I did put Everything Everywhere All at Once. Did not see in the theater. It is a little disjointed, but I think as a whole, I enjoyed what they were trying to do. Final execution, I thought. I don't know if it could be better, but it is what it is.
But you enjoyed it.
I did.
Yeah.
Of course, I like Jamie Lee Curtis. I love Michelle Yeoh. And I kind of like the aspects of it. So.
You saw this on some kind of streaming platform?
I did not. I
on Tubi?
I watched part of it on an airplane. And then I need to see this. For some reason, my connecting flight didn't have the same selection.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you mentioned that. That's
I was like, but I did actually buy it on Blu-ray. So I do have it.
Oh, good.
Officially. So.
Yeah.
I put in Halloween Ends, of course, because
of course.
It's a movie I've returned to a couple times. I know it's divisive with some fans and some just absolutely hate it. And I actually enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, too. And one of our listeners and one of Robert's friends, Brian, is one of the leads in that movie. Big residual paychecks and stuff. But no, it was a fun movie. And I feel like when I watched that, there were scenes that I really, really liked and got into, like where Michael goes after the guy in the tunnel, like the sewer system, whatever. And he's like, show me how to do it. And I rewound that like 3 or 4 times. And I was like, this is so cool. And then I realized, why am I watching this over and over again? Like, this is not normal behavior. But I was like, it was just the music came in at the right time. And I don't know. That was a fun movie, man. I really didn't expect much from it, but I liked it.
And of course, I'm a Laurie Strode fan. I liked some of their music choices, but Boy Harsher, I think, is what they used in a couple places.
Yeah.
I was at a holiday event a couple weeks ago, and I said, because I'm going to Savannah this coming weekend.
Savannah.
Do Halloween Ends filming locations. And she's like, oh, my friend had a part in that. I was like, oh, yeah, she was really excited, and she ends up being, I can't remember the character's name, but the redheaded nurse that gets speared against the wall with Dr. Mathis and stuff like that. I'm like, she had a murder role, you know, like,
yeah,
it wasn't just a bit part, really, you know?
No.
So
no.
I was like, well, you can make some money this year. Go to the Halloween convention and sell your autograph.
Yeah, you should, Robert.
Along with Brian.
You should put his 8x5 headshots signed there, and you know, just people will buy it. They won't question it. Just, people will just want somebody there that's like, oh, you're in it. I don't really know, but you're selling for $5. I'll take it.
And Brian's listing. Yep. And you always have to charge extra for a picture.
Always. That'd be funny if you saw Brian at the Hollywood show and he's like $25 for a picture, and it's like, I know you. I know who you are. I feel like that's something Sean Kanan would do. He'd be like, hey, you want to buy, because he's always selling stuff. I'd be like, Sean, I know who you are. I don't need like a picture. Not that he would, but no. Funny when it's
if you're in the convention center, it costs. Outside, no, yeah, there's rules.
Anyway, I digress. Sorry.
So I have a number of films that are now coming out or will be coming out. So during January and through March, between Sundance Film Festival and a couple other, I see I see all the best films at that time. So eventually some of these are kind of coming out. Like Watcher has came out, I think, on Shudder or something like that. So it's a slow burn horror movie that I really liked. And it's one of those that got so much hype that people now might be too built up. Versus
this is the one about the stranger that watches them.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Right. It did get a lot of hype.
Yeah. But you know, when it's overhyped, you're like, well, all right, bring it on. Versus like when we saw it, we didn't know, we had like a 3-sentence thing. It was like, oh, let's see what this one's about.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Same thing with God's Country. So I don't know if that's out yet or not. I forgot her character's from
Mother Westworld. Abigail.
Thandi Newton.
Oh yeah,
is in it. So this is one of her. This is probably one of my favorites at Sundance last year. That I thought it was a good thriller. I'll say that.
I think you mentioned that
too much away. Yep. So
you watched it with your M&Ms.
I. And that, now I'm back on Weight Watchers. So now,
are you going to Sundance this year in the flesh?
We're gonna do virtual.
Yeah.
This year again. So it's just a little bit. It's easier that way, cheaper. So
yeah.
I Love My Dad, which I'm not sure if you've. This is
No, I'm not familiar.
Patton Oswalt.
that one.
Yeah. So this is such cringy humor that I feel like really? I'm peeking through. Not raunchy, but just literally cringy. Where more as the premise is that he's lost connection with his son, so he makes up a fake female profile to.
Oh.
Get a conversation, and of course things go horribly wrong, where you're just like, "Oh my!"
I know what you're talking about. I didn't see it, but is it like Mrs. Doubtfire cringe?
No, I don't.
Kind of like pretending to be a woman.
I'm not familiar with that movie, but this is actually funny.
Wait, so he creates a fake profile to like connect with his dad?
Connect with his son. Because this, you know,
the son, I mean,
yeah, and so, but the son, of course, kind of ends up falling in love with this fake, you know, but he doesn't want to end it or hurt his feet, you know, and stuff like that. But he doesn't know what to do. And, it's just like it goes to
hilarity doesn't ensue.
In a funny way, you know, that you just so that was one of my favorites for sure. So,
oh man,
but yeah, check it out.
Cringe.
And then I put some miniseries because I'm like, where do these fit? They're not movies, but the Dahmer miniseries we've talked about. So I really like that. And Dr. Death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, miniseries. Both good. Both
I thought were better than a lot of movies out there.
I felt like the Dahmer series, too, got an unfair rap. A lot of people criticize it of glorifying him. And I can see the argument to a degree, but they showed that he was a monster and he went to jail and died. And I don't know.
Yeah. Out of all the.
Better than the Mike miniseries, I thought. The Tyson one.
Oh, yeah, I didn't watch that. So I do know it's criticized for, like you say, glorifying and that it was kind of the victims' families have to live it all through it again. But this was more pro victim and some of the, you know, Niecy Nash's character for unheard voices, you know, that we kind of knew about, but and just kind of it kind of elevated the reasoning behind all, you know, so how this was able to happen. So
she was the neighbor
that had called multiple times on him and
too
little too late. And I know they embellished, you know, some of the cop stuff, but
now they could have done
not too much, but
they should have done more.
But yeah, so those are my two. And Dr. Death, Josh Jackson, was, if you haven't seen it yet, I thought that was just
It seemed great.
Unreal.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, if you watch the real documentary after, is like, oh, they actually toned it down a little for the.
Yeah. Art imitates life and kind of tones it down, which is scary. But
I would love a sequel, but obviously it's real life, so there is no.
Right. It's not happening.
Dr. Death season 2.
They'll find a way to make it, Robert.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So I had some honorable mentions where I'm like, oh, they weren't the best. But so The Black Phone, which.
The Black Phone. Oh, yeah. I keep like wanting to watch that and I don't. Is that good?
I enjoy it. It's like a one watch. I thought it was kind of good enough. I kind of enjoyed the atmosphere of it, I'll say.
It's supernatural, right?
Yeah. I can't say. I don't know.
But it has to do with, there really is a black phone that can communicate with like the dead.
Possibly.
I mean, isn't that's in the trailer, I think.
Yeah. I can't remember how much is in the trailer versus, but so I liked the way it looked. Had a pretty good acting, especially the main young kid was really good. So,
yeah.
Top Gun Maverick. It's obviously total popcorn movie, and it hit all the check marks and did very well. So, worth a watch for what it is.
It was fun. Yeah. It was better than you expected, right?
Yeah. No, I was like, oh, I wasn't hating it, you know, like, so when the original Top coming out, came out, I was 16. And even then I was a movie snob because I refused to see it.
Wait, you were 16? What an exciting, like, age to see Top Gun.
And I didn't.
You didn't see it because this was like.
I was already like, that's too pop culture, you know, like, no.
You were a movie snob at the time.
I was apparently already a movie snob. I remember secretly, I was like, oh, when it's on video, I'll give it a watch.
Well, no, that's good to know that at that age. You know, if Top Gun, the original, came out when I was like 18, because I'm not as
old.
I wasn't as mature as you were cinematically at age 16. I would have watched anything then. When I was like 18, 19, I was starting to get more like snobbery and pickish. So I think if a movie like Top Gun came out when I was 19, I wouldn't even see it. But because I was a kid watching it, I'll always love that movie.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's good that you kind of had that know-how at the time.
And eventually, you know, and here's, it does have a good soundtrack and so forth.
But... Well, and it inspired the movie, or the line from, is it Leprechaun, where he's like, a friend with weed is a friend indeed, or something like that?
It might have. I don't
know. By the way, Leprechaun, you've covered. I just want to crowbar this in for the listeners. Yeah. Leprechaun 2, is it 2, Back to the Hood?
Yeah.
Came out a few weeks ago, the release.
Yeah, our anniversary release. So.
And you did some great shots on there.
Nobody, I don't know if anybody else. People have actually done it since now. I've noticed that. It makes me wonder if, like, did they figure out, like, who else's radar was this on where they do Leprechaun 2?
No, they ripped it off of your page, which is apparently a thing these days.
Yeah, what was it? Oh, Mork and Mindy. Like,
yeah, I found this picture. It's the same shot.
If there's one thing, you know, I know, obviously my page is made to be used for people to go to locations and so forth. But the thing that irks me is when people say, look at the locations I found. And I'm like, one, those are all ones that I covered years ago. And two, you actually use my actual screenshots from my website for comparison. So don't act like you found it. But
they didn't find it. But one thing I'll say that I think is helpful is that most people know, like if you Google Mork and Mindy locations, that guy's site isn't going to come up before yours. And I don't, my point is, I don't think there's any credence to them. I think they're just, nothing's going to happen.
Maybe I should bet. How'd you find them? I don't know.
Start watermarking your photos.
Here's the thing. That's how I knew he stole my screenshots from the Mork and Mindy, because the logo was, I made that logo and put it in a specific place. So I knew he.
Oh, I don't remember that. Did he have the logo on there?
Yeah. He used.
Oh, that's so shameless.
It's fine. So I forgot to mention, I just skipped right over for some reason, but one of the best and might have moved. It is. Saw it most recently. The Menu.
Oh, yeah, that's just streaming now on HBO.
It is. Have you seen it yet?
No, I'm going to watch it tonight. My buddy Brett said it's like, he's a waiter kind of guy that used to work. Waiter kind of guy. He used to be a server, and he's like, they nailed it. Like, you got to watch it.
Yeah, so I did enjoy that. I kind of went in not quite arms folded, but like, let's see what this is about. And I made it watch it as a movie.
Yeah.
No stopping. And I enjoyed it quite a bit. And by chance, I should be hitting up a couple locations when I'm Savannah for it. So it kind of, timing wise, it worked out.
Oh, that's so cool. When you go down to Savannah, you're going to talk a bit slower accent, and maybe have some mint julep and some croquet parties down there.
I've never been to Savannah, so I'm going to do, obviously, Halloween Ends. If I have time, I'm going to do, obviously, some the menu locations. And if I also have more time to do Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil locations.
I was going to ask. You got to do that if you're there.
I will not have time to go visit the Forrest Gump park. Sorry, everybody.
I think that's been covered. But isn't Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil the epitomous kind of Savannah movie? It's like the Jurassic Park of Hawaii for Savannah.
It is, for sure, and because I did a rewatch of it, because I'm like, oh, and I was like, it's still pretty good. It still holds up relatively well. But yeah, it's a love note to Savannah, for sure. And there's a mix. They're actually in the same location. And like everything is, and it's pretty incestuous that way. So, which, glad they did it. Otherwise, it's not Vancouver. substituting for Savannah or trying to do something silly like that. But
yeah, they actually used it. And the what's the Forrest Gump one? The bench? Is that Savannah?
Yeah, I think that's where it's at. So on the map, it pulls up, it says something like Forrest Gump Park. I'm like,
I'm sure there's, I don't know this, but I know it's actually true. There's a plaque that says Forrest Gump sat here right in front of that bench.
Gotcha. So I might do one of those camera out the window as I drive by.
Yeah.
For all you Forrest Gump lovers. But anyway.
Yeah.
Glass Onion, I put as honorable. We already talked about that. I put X/Pearl. I enjoyed both of those. Don't need to watch them over and over again, but I thought they were a good for what they were.
You enjoyed the way it was made?
I did. So.
Yeah.
And is it Mia Goth?
Mia Goth.
Yeah, was pretty good. And I'm always kind of surprised by Brittany Snow because she always puts in a good performance, but even though I really just consider her kind of an airhead, but she's not. So.
No, but she's not.
She's not actually, so she's just playing one. So,
yeah.
I put Prey, Predator 10 or whatever it is. We talked about that before. I had some issues with the kind of SoCal.
the Aubrey Plaza looking chick. Just like, hey, look, I'm going to go get some food by myself. It's like, come on, dude.
They could have maybe finessed it. And I knew why they did it, but I thought it would probably been just obviously more authentic if they would have not
they did the native tongue.
Yeah,
you know what I'll say about Prey that I thought was refreshing is the setting of the 1600s or whatever. They didn't do another like prequel to them going into the jungle or like a modern day thing or like just another planet. They actually did North America. It's such an interesting setting. There's possibly nothing, no technology that could defeat them at the time. But I thought that was cool. And I do like that they like slaughter the fur trappers because you're like, you guys are assholes anyway. You're killing animals for fur. And
which is always good when they find there's always another villain, and it's always better when there's another villain in the Predator so that you want to see them killed. So
who was the other villain in Predator 2? Was it the cartels?
Yeah, it's usually kind of the evil. Was it Gary Busey? And I can't remember. But, you know, it's always the government. At that time, we still, you know.
Gary Touchy-Feely Busey.
Yeah. Which then, because his son played his son in The Predator.
Yeah, right. Jake Busey.
Yeah, as well, which I did try to give that a rewatch, and I was like.
Me too.
Every once in a while, I'm like, well, maybe. I'm like, no.
God. Me too. I did the same thing with the other week. I was like, you know what? It's time. I was young and stupid when I saw this. It was like 2 years ago. Like, we're watching it. And I was like, I'm going to watch The Stand 1994 instead.
Right, yeah. Do the palate cleanse.
Got to do it.
But they just do stupid stuff. And like when he puts in his mouth the make yourself invisible ball sphere in front of the local guy. And they're like, oh, okay, I'll mail that for you. I'm like, if I was local, I would just steal it then. It's like, and when, why were you showing off in front of local? I don't know. But it was just.
Why? Right.
Yeah. Anyway. But it is also probably, I know it was the victim of some probably studio interference with redoing the ending. But anyway, that is what it is. So
yeah.
Emily the Criminal. I also saw it at Sundance, mm-hmm. and it is now playing somewhere, I think. So, speaking of Aubrey Plaza, so
right.
It's kind of a low budget thriller, kind of.
Yeah.
In the kind of vein of Drive and stuff like that. So I enjoy those movies, and of course, it's an LA movie, so.
Yeah, you gotta love it.
I like the back roads of, you know, downtown LA and the Arts District that they go through. So,
yeah, I do like when they film in LA as LA a lot.
Yeah, then it makes sense. So,
yeah.
Call Jane. So this was at Sundance. There was a couple of films focusing on kind of pre-Roe versus Wade, and kind of, and this was kind of like the fictionalized version, but they called themselves the Janes, which helped women connect to. I guess illegal abortions, because they had to be done.
Yeah.
So Elizabeth Banks, Sigourney Weaver, that cat, you can't go wrong with Scorny for anything.
Can't do it. Can't go wrong.
You can just
kiss all that goodbye.
I feel like she should add that line into all of her films, you know, like
everything,
you know, why not? So, Piggy.
What's Piggy?
It's also I can't remember what country it's from. So I saw this at it's a horror film. It could be a little much for some people, but it is, I enjoyed it. I feel like it might be streaming somewhere, as well, but.
Oh, I'm looking at it now. Look how scary that looks. Whoa. This looks awesome.
Yeah. So it's worth a, I think it's worth a watch. So if you want some gritty boots on the ground kind of horror and bullying and stuff like that, I think.
I do.
Yeah, I kind of liked it. What I like about it is, like, they're usually subversive enough. I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, there's
Is it
no...
really as fucked up as it looks?
I mean,
in a good way.
Yeah. Not quite. There's awful stuff that happens.
I hear about this magnificent movie.
It's in horror circles, and it was one of those. And this is where it's hard when we're picking out Sundance films, because you read a three sentence, I'm like, do we want to see this? I don't, you know, who can tell? But I like surprises, you know, or kind of like not kind of the usual. Well, let's talk about, like, so X and Pearl. There's nothing really that surprising. It's a slick horror movie, but there's really no overt surprises or nothing that didn't already, you know, tell us in all the trailers. So unlike, you know, Piggy, like, I have no idea what's going to happen next.
You just didn't know what's happening?
Yeah. Well,
I think we should fire up the trailer for the viewers.
I haven't seen the trailer, so I don't know.
Are you on board for these
sure.
shenanigans?
Yeah.
Or is it not appropriate?
It could be appropriate. I haven't seen it, so.
It's like I pick up the wrong trailer and it's Showgirls 2 again. Which, by the way, thank you to everybody that watched our Showgirls 2 trailer review. It like blew up. People were commenting on, like, somebody shared it on Reddit. It was like,
really?
It was this cultural phenomenon. People are like, oh my gosh, this is so bad. So thanks, Robert, for watching that.
And I am wearing my Showgirls shirt today.
There it is.
So, yeah.
There it is.
Well, I'm glad we put some Showgirls 2 awareness out there.
It's amazing. Okay, this is the official trailer for Piggy.
Hermita!
Pero mira cómo está.
Se trata de que salga, que dé del aire.
Asco de tía, mírala, por favor.
¡Me llaman cerda!
Oink, oink, oink.
Por eso no bajo y tú no haces nada.
No sé lo que ha pasado en la piscina.
¡Cerdita!
¿Y viste algo? ¿Oíste algo raro?
¡Hermita!
Lo estamos sacando de quicio.
A ver, yo no sé vuestras hijas, pero la mía no desaparece así como así.
Tu hija, le llaman cerda a mi hija.
Dios mío, ¿qué le han hecho?
¿Esta sangre qué es, Sara?
¿Qué has hecho, Cerdi?
¡Cerdita!
That shotgun's no joke. Wow.
So if you're only listening, they're like, what are they watching? Since there's no English.
I know. It's amazing. Pagita.
But yeah, so it is. It's cool worth to watch. If you're a horror lover, you know, this is not mainstream horror, but.
I like it. I'm really curious about this. Where's it streaming? I guess I can Google this.
I've seen it show up on people's. And it's hard because like we watch and we'll do this at the end of the month, you know, 27 films. And so it's actually hard for me to retain all of them. And then they end up sometimes have different titles by the time that they come out in theaters or if they come out. But so another one I had also at Sundance was Linoleum. It's
Linoleum.
It's I can't remember now why it's called that way, but it's just, all I'll say is that it's I think it's in the 80s, a former science talk show host loses job, or he no longer does it. And so, but he really wants to become an astronaut. As you do. So I'll leave it from there.
Oh, cool. Quick question about Piggy. Yep. It has 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. It looks really good. Without giving anything away, because you're very good at this genre, did you know what was happening when it was happening, or were there any loops being thrown at you?
It's not any twists. Watching the trailer again helped remind me kind of how it went. But
yeah.
It's not, it's just not a studio formulaic Scream 6, you know, this is something completely just raw, you know.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Thanks for sharing.
Alice, I would see, I don't know if this is ever streaming, so Kiki Palmer's in this. I don't want to give anything away, but it starts off in the Antebellum South era.
Oh, and okay.
She crosses the road and she's in like 1975 or something. And
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, but
yeah, that looks cool. Yeah. You seen it?
Yeah, that was it. That was Sundance. So Sundance and we do Fantastic Fest and we do one other are full of great films and it's limited on how many you can try to cram into. But what I like about that is, like, unlike Piggy, we had no trailer. We had nothing.
Pigita.
Yeah. you have literally like three lines and a photo to choose our films. And so we try to, you know, pick the good ones. But I like that because you just don't know what you're walking into versus every film now. We know what we're in for, and pretty much they telegraph the entire movie. You know, and here's the ending. You know.
Yeah. Robert knows. You can also, you'll be going to Sundance this month as well, virtually.
Yep. And I usually let my sister pick. Seems to be
happening.
Has better. She has better. I feel like when I pick, I pick the bad ones. It seems like it's like
Oh, you're too hard on yourself.
Well, she just picks. Yeah, she seems to have a better eye for.
Well, your sister knows movies, and Robert has a lot of high-tech gadgets.
She is,
but
also,
he has no instincts, and he doesn't. He doesn't have Murphy.
She is. Nobody has Murphy. So,
By the way, Twisters is coming out this year,
Or next year, I think. I think next it moved year. To 2024. So,
yeah.
Can't wait. Yeah. What? Do you know? Speaking of anniversaries. This week we are going to see Jurassic Park on the big screen for early 30th anniversary.
Oh yeah, I can't believe it's 30 years.
Alamo's going to have a movie party, which I think we have flashlights and stuff like that. So during movie parties, you can actually talk. So we have
turn it off.
I think it's going to be a lot of
put it down.
So, which is kind of they try not to. I think they say don't overdo it, but you do. Like when we went to see Twister. The whole audience was doing food.
Of course. Oh, I just want to eat that food. You know, Jurassic Park came out in June, but they're re-releasing it for the 30th year this month through June, or just
I think it's on a price circuit of some sort that at Alamo they We're seeing an Alamo for a movie party, and I know it is. They're putting it as the 30th anniversary, so I'm sure there will be more of a brouhaha for later in the year.
Oh, I'm excited for the 30th anniversary. It makes me feel really old, but I'm excited to watch it.
You kids,
you
kids. I was meeting with somebody because he said, "I said because I like Madonna's supposed to be touring this year." He's like, "Oh," and he's like, "I remember." When I was a kid, I saw A League of Their Own, and I didn't realize until I was an adult that Madonna was Madonna. I'm like, oh, I'm like, I saw it as an adult. So, or I was 21 or 22, but
yeah,
that's
a good age to see it, though.
Yeah, I was a super Madonna fan at the time. So,
who wasn't 1993? Come on.
Yeah, and I forgot because I was going to actually text you. You know, we have Facebook memories pulled up.
Yeah.
So
whether we want them or not.
10 years ago, January 5th, 2013, this was my text or my post. I hope you're sitting down, but I watched Dick Tracy for the first time tonight.
Whoa, what a miraculous event.
Yeah, I forgot. I'll send that to
10
you,
years ago today.
January 5th, so a couple days ago. I remember I screenshotted and I forgot to send it to you. But
it was January 5th 10 years ago.
Yeah, 2013.
Oh, wow. That's so exciting.
Just a few years after its release. Well,
as Breathless Mahoney says, she sweats a lot better in the dark.
See, remember you know that? The line. Yeah, I was like, oh, I saw it.
Well, no, we were all like 9 and 8, and Madonna's half naked in this PG Disney movie saying, I sweat a lot better in the dark. And we're all like, what? Whoa.
Whoa.
I'm getting an extra treat.
That Madonna.
It was amazing.
Oh.
Hey, it used to be your playground, okay?
I had issues with that song. I was like, I didn't like the video. That was kind of the eyebrowless era where she had no eyebrows and the paint in the back. I'm like,
wait, the video is the one with the book, right?
Yeah, the out of focus.
Yeah.
It was kind of a nice, it's pretty good visual effect for 92, you know, that they were able to kind of do that.
Right.
But it was Madonna looking through her old playground. Yeah. So
that song was a powerhouse too. That was on the radio like all the time. I remember.
It was Madonna time.
Yeah.
It was. So finished off my list. A Lot of Nothing, which I don't know. I put it. It was also I think a Sundance film where it's kind of a lot of people taken hostage in their own house, home invasion type thing. So
okay, yeah.
Now that I don't know why I put it on the list at the time, I think I liked it better at the time, but I might have kind of glazed that over. And then I put Still Working 9 to 5, which is a documentary, part kind of how the movie was made, but also why the movie was made and how women are still not getting paid or have their place in the workplace like they should. So, and
yeah,
everybody
that's a good retrospect.
You know, everybody that's still living from the cast is back talking about it, and which was as a total 9 to 5 lover was fantastic for me.
So it was like a two-parter movie, making of the movie of the film.
Well, it wasn't two, they kind of interwove it, and because part of it is like, you know, one of the reasons, you know, Jane Fonda pushed this through is because she recognized there was stuff happening, and she was like, why, you know, and she's also probably smart enough that a documentary about it at the time would not get much versus, you know, if you made a kind of comedy about it, which I'm sure kind of also has the detractors, but you're bringing some attention to it, even if it is kind of in a jester type of way. But
right,
still
right.
Good.
No, it makes sense for the because what was 83 when it came out?
80.
So people weren't talking about it in the mainstream like they should have been.
Yeah, and it's still an issue.
Yeah.
Like we're
of course.
And I think
it's that,
still working 9 to 5. Like this is still.
Yeah.
You know, years later, we're still talking about it. So anyway, so those are some of my honorable mentions. Do you have any honorable stuff that did not?
Rewatching the last show we did, the Showgirls 2 trailer recap, watching you talk about that was probably my favorite of
your
2022.
Highlight.
It was fun. No, 2022, you covered everything that I've seen in the theater here. So I'll just echo. I want to bring up your worst ones because the one, if I can just crowbar in Jurassic Park Dominion, which you have on your worst.
Oh, yes.
I really didn't have any high expectations for this movie as a true Jurassic Park fan. And it didn't even make those expectations. It was like so bad. I just even felt after, like, man, they really threw that into the ground.
Even after Jurassic Park Haunted Mansion, you thought that was the lowest it could go. And then
I did Haunted Mansion. Clue version, Jurassic Park. You know, if they just, I'd be happy with this timeline. 1 through 3 ending, done. 1 through 3 with Jurassic World, fine. Mm-hmm. Or the first two, even as bad as 2 was. Because then you're like, okay, 2 sucked. You can't duplicate the magic. Leave it alone. But to make 6 movies about this and then take them to the lengths they did, it's just so bad. It's just so bad.
James Bond scenes, like, it literally, I don't
know. Indiana Jones.
I feel like, you could literally swap in instead of, you know, Raptors, whatever, the bad guys of Indiana Jones or James Bond running through Italy or whatever they were. And it's like, it's the same. And it's the same level of ludicrousness of, we have to get rid of Bryce Dallas Howard to separate him. So one jump seat only. For Kurt, you know, like, I don't think that's the way it worked. But anyway.
Right. And they could have just intertwined them. And they just talk about beating it into the ground. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So it was just poor. I never gave it a second watch because I can't. I don't think it. I feel like I would have hated it.
I'll never watch it again.
Yeah.
You know.
So
it's just
glad it made its money.
Right. Right. Hope they could have done things with that. Like, I mean, to have that cast back, there's a lot of nods they could have did and roads they could have went. They could even have suspended belief because it is about dinosaurs. And had them back on the original island and like crowbar in some nostalgic stuff, like just for the sake of a popcorn movie. And they just didn't. There was no reason the original cast had to be in this movie.
No.
At all.
They
wasted it. They wasted their time and our time.
Lord Dern going off after huge locusts. And I was like, wait, what? How does this?
It's like a plague.
She's worried about the crops. I'm like, there's dinosaurs out there, you know.
The locusts are going to decimate the crops. There's tarantulas. There's pterodactyls coming towards you. Like, dinosaur. What do you? It's just it's so bad.
And I guess it's dots no clown that they house. Brought, yeah, it was. No, what is clown house really? So Jurassic Park Dominion for sure. So
yeah,
we previously talked about Moonfall.
I couldn't finish it. I really need to finish it. I was halfway through. I mean, the moon is a man-made object. Come on. Come on. There's some stuff inside of it. But come on.
And then actually crashing into the earth, but then also, I don't want to give away the ending, you know, that it's fine. Everything's fine. Yeah.
You know, that's not how science works with gravitational pulls of man. It's just.
Oh.
Okay.
I just. Yeah. And yeah. The gravity. But
remember, they get the it's just to the listeners, I'm not giving anything away, but they find like the decommissioned Atlantis, I think, space shuttle, and they're like, let's get it going. It's like, you don't just turn on the rocket ship as if it's like a Camaro in dad's garage that you can like put a new battery in. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. And
you know what I mean? Was it the Atlantis or the
I can't remember because it was slow. How long did it take to get through LA?
Right. It was one of the space shuttle in LA. I should know this, but the Endeavor or something, and they like, let's get it going.
Yeah, and we just need 2 people in the control room to make it work, and I'm sure all the pipes are fine. You know, like versus, you know, we all sat back when there's like one piece of ice in the wrong place versus something that hasn't been used in decades.
Right. It's amazing.
Anyway, but yeah, it's not enjoyable. Bad. It's just
just sad
parts you can laugh at. So I put Scream 5. I'm sorry, I know some people liked that and thought it was kind of a return to form, and I just did not think it was.
You weren't buying it.
Mm-mm, not gonna do it. Firestarter, I don't know if people remember. They remade Firestarter. That was so bad. I think, was it Peacock they slipped it into?
They slipped it in the Peacock,
and
I think they did theatrically, too.
Oh, yeah, they did, yeah.
But it was just so bad. It, like, wanted to be kind of like Stranger Things, but, I mean...
It brought nothing to the...
You didn't need to really remake that movie. I could see why you would want to. It's a Stephen King movie. The original is considered a decent movie, I guess, for a King adaptation with Drew Barrymore. But like, I don't know. If you could have did so much better with that. You really could have.
Yeah, it might have been better as a miniseries. Yeah, but it just wasn't. The cast was not good.
No. It could have been a miniseries. You nailed it.
Yeah. Still probably better than Firestarter 2.
Oh, yeah. That is bad.
Yeah.
That is awful.
Which is also, that is a two-parter, unwatchable, with actually the same actress that's also in Queen of the Damned is I can't remember her name.
Oh yeah,
she's a better comedic actress because she's in like Wet Hot Summer and stuff like that. It's perfect
right
for her. Maybe she's had a little bit of Leslie Nielsen effect now. I'm like, I can't take you seriously at all.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Who is it from Titanic? Is it Fabrizio? Is that his name?
Yeah, he's in Rock too.
Is he okay?
Yeah,
he's in Firestarter too. But anyway,
yeah,
we're going back years and years. But Firestarter remake, not good.
No.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
The blood looks so fake.
So here we have another part two, where like this is the third or fourth time where this is the direct sequel to the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Right. They've done this three or four times. Halloween only did it once or twice, I think. But but now we're at the point of like, no, wait, ignore everything. This is the one that's the actual sequel.
Yeah, this one.
Yeah, even though the other ones happened just a matter of years ago. Obviously, doing their best to kind of pull a Jamie Lee Curtis coming back, even though the original lead actress has passed away. And then the current actress has some of the same things. Like, she's holding the same anger, you know, four decades later.
Same Polaroid.
Same Polaroid that has not faded. Somehow she had in her jeans the whole time. Mm-hmm. Is the only way that
doesn't fade it. And why wait 40 years if you know where he is?
And she's been looking that whole time.
Yeah.
But apparently he's only 10 miles away.
Not hard to find.
No, obviously everybody else found him, no problem. And there's just so many, you know, the original chainsaw is put into drywall of the orphanage, and luckily it also fires up after.
I forgot about
space
that.
Shuttle. Yeah, it's fine. I did kind of like the aspect, and they stole this from Halloween 2018. It was like Leatherface had no idea who she was.
No.
And they kind of spelled it out a bit more, I think, in this one. It's like,
yeah,
she's like, he's like, literally, they should have had like his thoughts, like, I have no idea who you are, lady. Like,
right. They should have did like the bubble screen.
Yeah.
Get out of with my the text house. Messages on the bus. Remember that one? It's like, this blood is so fake.
Yeah. They just should have. But anyway, but not, I don't know. There's just enough holes and so forth. But anyway.
Yeah.
A mess. And are they making another one? For some reason, I thought they were.
Wouldn't be surprised. No. I watched that when it came first. It was on Netflix, I think. Mm. And I remember I was just like, what do we get? I watched it after you, and everything you said was right. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
I want to like these movies, you know, but.
Yeah. I think they're going to keep making them forever.
I'm sure. And the next one will be the actual sequel.
Right. Ignore everything else. That, so.
I put Smile. I know this kind of got a lot of, I couldn't. I wasn't buying it. So.
Weren't doing it. Weren't having it.
Weren't doing it. Another horror movie ish Them with Kevin Bacon. I thought it was kind of funny that they were one of the camps in the Friday 13th series, and Kevin Bacon was obviously in the original, but
it was the one from 6, right?
Yeah. But the movie itself, just some lost opportunities, and I think they were just kind of flying on 2020s I don't want to say wokeness, but
kind of what it was, though.
Hammer that into this movie, and it didn't work for me as well. So,
yeah, no, me neither.
And then I also have, I'm sure people are not familiar with this one at all. I don't know, Cha Cha Real Smooth. If there is a stink, there's usually some movie at Sundance I despise, And it's usually the special, special movies. And this one was Cha-Cha Real Smooth, which it's one of those, the director is also the lead actor. Or the was he the writer and also the lead actor? No, he director, writer, and star. So you already know.
Oh, one of those.
You are getting a resume, you know, a 2-hour resume. So, but he got some people.
I can do it all.
Yeah, he got some good supporting cast, Dakota Johnson and Leslie Mann or whatever. But it's all about, you know, school wasn't working for him, and he becomes a DJ for bar mitzvahs, and he that becomes his full-time job. I didn't realize that was a full-time job for this kind of small town that he's in, and everybody loves
bar mitzvahs.
Yeah, and I'm just so sometimes you can take a look at the trailer. It's too sappy and, you know, fake crying. I'm like, no.
Oh no, that bad.
I have issues. Yeah, so.
Cha-Cha Real Smooth, starring Dakota Johnson and Cooper Ralph.
Yeah, so Cooper is the.
He's the guy.
He's the guy, and so after you know, it was all this praise is lushed on him, and I'm sure he's a decent filmmaker, but I was like, this is not the. Not the movie for me, I'll say.
It was like a resume film. Like, I can do it all.
Yeah, which, good for him. He's noticed, and maybe he'll do a good follow-up with something else, but...
Yeah.
I won't.
Cha-Cha Real Smooth.
Yeah.
I'm glad you gave it a chance, though.
Yeah, my sister and I still talk about that. I was like, or we could watch Cha-Cha Real Smooth.
And oh, it's one of those
literally
now.
Throw stuff across the room, just hearing the title. Mm-mm.
Would you rather watch Cha-Cha Real Smooth or Krampus?
Dare I say Krampus?
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Believe it or not. Yeah.
That's bad. I won't even watch the trailer for it then.
Yeah.
You hate it that much.
I do. And now I'm thinking Showgirls 2 or Cha-Cha Real Smooth. I don't know. These are hard.
That's tough.
Ethical dilemmas. But...
They are ethical.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
All right. Go out and watch it, everybody.
Cha-Cha Real Smooth. Look for it on Tubi.
It's special.
Well, those are good. Those are good mentions. Those are good lists. I really enjoy them. And I think you nailed it. We all go to you, Robert, for our film.
We have many
advice.
More 2022 still to watch. Was it Tar? Mm-hmm. I think I need to see, and a couple others, but
yeah,
I'll get to them eventually.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, that's a pretty good list. We're going to mention this happened over a week ago, but Barbara Walters, of course, pioneer, not only for being one of the first women broadcasters in that role at the time, but just for her legacy and who she interviewed and, you know, her impact on broadcasting and journalism. Barbara Walters passed away. I believe she was 93.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she was truly one of a kind.
She was. So my undergrad degree was broadcast journalism, and my final thesis paper was on women in broadcasting. And so obviously she was in it quite a bit. I remember the title of my thesis was Second Best, which obviously I'm alluding to that they could never be, you know, the first.
Yeah, of
whatever.
Course.
But also
great title.
Stolen directly from Madonna's Express Yourself. Lyrics, because I was high. It was high Madonna time for me. So
yeah.
All about
why
Madonna.
Not?
But yeah, so and I think I still have the paper somewhere here. So and I kind of just she might have kind of went some off beaten paths in her journalism and later years. But yeah, she was a historical game changer for women, and
extremely.
It's probably still an issue, I think. I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell, but broadcast journalism is completely different than it was then during her time anyway. But so sad to see her go.
Yeah, really sad. Sad news. Great outpouring of love, too, from, you know, all kinds of people that she touched.
Sherry O'Terry probably did the best.
There it is.
Yeah,
loved her.
Barbara Walters.
She was great.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Barbara Walters. I wanted to ask you, Robert, I know you've seen this. There was an article in Screen Rant this past week about 5 days ago. Halloween 5's lost Dr. Death scene fixes major plot holes.
I didn't see the article.
I was just going to Can I read you the first paragraph? I just want your take on this because I know you don't like Halloween 5.
It's not a good one. But
it's not a good one. Halloween 5, of course, The Revenge of Michael Myers. And the article, this is from ScreenRant.com, says, the formerly lost original opening to Halloween 5 fixed some plot holes. Halloween 5 was quickly greenlit off the success of the fourth film and rushed into production to meet a 1989 release. It began filming without a solid story, which can be seen in the somewhat confused and final product. Halloween 5 currently opens the Michael Myers, the Shape, narrowly escaping death by a vengeful mom and kindly hermit looking after him for that year, of course. Blah, 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 blah. The hermit is murdered when Halloween comes back. And the article states that the hermit takes Michael into the shack. He lays him down on the altar. You know, he adorns him, symbol on the wrist, all that, brings him back to life. Producer Mustafa Akkad decided the scene with its black themes was silly, and he ordered it reshot with an older character. The scene was lost for decades, but after finally being unearthed, it was included as a bonus feature on Halloween 5 for the Blu-ray last year, or 2021. So the scene did set up the story, explaining where the Thorn tattoo came from. What is your thoughts on this? Does this mean anything to you as a fan?
A little bit. So as fans, we all knew this existed because in Fangoria magazine, I think the two open gatefold cover was a picture of the scene with the younger kid holding the Michael Myers mask, or it looked like he was holding Michael Myers' head, but he's actually holding the mask. Oh. And it was one of those things like, you know, you see the back of video box covers. I'm like, well, the scene's not even in the movie. Where is, you know?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
So it was one of those, and we vaguely knew it was some scene that they decided to reshoot. I'm laughing because I'm like, are we allowed to say hermit? And is that a
yeah? How does that work?
A thing to say. So it's sometimes these urban legends are better kept as urban legends because when you actually do see the scene, you're like, oh, this is. It's really not. Both are preposterous in kind of different ways of. So if the hermit version, you just immediately like, well, has Michael just been laying there for a year? Does he eat? Does the hermit clean him up?
Right. Like, how does your auxiliary senses like work when you're there for a year?
Has he been moving his muscles, you know?
Right. Is he doing physical therapy?
Yeah.
Cause he washed down, if I'm not mistaken, he washes like down the river.
Yeah.
From the mob after he shot, right?
River. Yeah.
As you do.
As we didn't realize.
You don't just fall into it. You get washed down. And...
Yeah, the Haddonfield, Illinois cliffs that go into the river that we had not seen before.
Yeah.
In the mine.
Bunch of beer bellies walking around with shotguns.
You know Illinois mines.
Of course.
Mine
shafts. They're everywhere.
Yeah. And so, there's enough kind of, and you just kind of, well, we just deal with it, you know. And then, and I literally only watched that. Unearthed scene once, and it was just as preposterous as
really
the other version. To me, there wasn't too much difference. So there was kind of a younger person, but it brought in some of the kind of, I don't know, call it voodoo more of bringing him back to life, I guess.
So this isn't a game changer.
No, I guess what it could have done is like they could have, in Halloween 6, of course, the original version also used a little bit of the, you know, the runes and stuff and the stones either can stop or whatever Michael Myers. So we are getting into supernatural Michael Myers already. So I guess the other version really is going down supernatural. We're just saying it's supernatural versus how can this guy survive?
And I think, you're right. And I think this is when the series really starts making him supernatural, but you mentioned on before, and I haven't been able to take my mind off it since, was Halloween 2 is kind of sort of where it became supernatural, because you don't really burn to death like that and walk out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And get shot in the face and all that. So I know that's not was not the intent, but the Shape, as he's called in this article, is not a game changer.
No. Well, Halloween 2, it appears they shot out both of his eyes, which you think would also be a kind of, a death knell. I don't know. Usually bullets... If they're going through the softest
eyes,
part of your skull, I mean, blood was coming down. I don't know. Burned to death.
Do it.
Yeah. He and Dr. Loomis, but minor scarring, you know.
Right.
They're fine. So, and it's hard. But Ein Halloween Kills did the same thing. At some point, it's like, well, I think we're beyond human, you know. I know he's transcended, right. According to Lori, but the script
Leave
has transcended. There's poor Murphy. Leave us alone. Yeah, we would Leave not have alone. That line if Michael had not survived the hospital explosion. So
exactly. So, okay, that's interesting.
Anyway,
so,
but,
do you think Screen Rant is pretty good in their Halloween analysis stuff?
I kind of feel like that's old news, but I'll take a look at that article and see, because they're kind of right. But it's one of those things where we like, it does not correct the movie. Anytime you see like any deleted scenes or whatever, or you know, like, oh, they cut this out, it's never good enough to make the movie right. You know,
there's a reason it was cut.
Correct. Yeah. And it's just adding in like these bits and pieces does not make it right. So I did watch, speaking of, there's a video series of deleted scenes or different cuts for Alien 1, 2, and 3. And so they're arguing like for Aliens, like which is the director's cut edition better, or, you know, there's pieces that are and probably pieces that are not. So the scene in Aliens that should have retained is when Ripley finds out her daughter has gotten old and passed away.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's a 2-minute scene. I get it. It'd slow the movie down a little
bit. I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. But on the other hand, it makes Newt much more meaningful and so forth. But they talk about, you know, more or less they took out the entire reel of LV-426 for showing Newt and her family before, you know, they're discovering that, you know, all the base, what it looked like and whatever. They took, you know, that's a whole like, what, 20 minutes?
Yeah, they were
sequence.
In like the old ship and stuff. I mean, it was or the base, whatever. It was kind of, it's in the director's cut. It's kind of a cool backstory.
It's not kind of, nice to see, but I do get, I was like, it does take you away from the linear narrative, you know, versus, you know, we really say, I'm in, and we like literally cut to the Sulaco, you know?
right.
Let's go. Yeah. And
in Aliens, they cut out, at least in the original release, the drone scenes where they explained how the aliens couldn't get into the room right away.
Yeah.
Which is only a few seconds. So they did some weird cuts with the original.
So there's pieces. But anyway, so I've been enjoying that. And it's nice to see these, but I'm also saying, you know, I usually like to stick with the theatrical, as I hate to say the word canon. That's a very Star Wars thing to say, but. You know.
He's canon now.
What's canon in the Texas Chainsaw series? I don't even know anymore.
There was a, I know. Oh, just to cap off the Halloween thing. Next episode, we're going to be mentioning something in a new segment we're going to be doing, but it's going to be, Screen Rant has an article. And can anybody explain Halloween 5's Comedy Cops? And we're going to be talking, there will be a mention in next show. We're going to get into police uniforms.
Oh, we're definitely going to need to play a little clown cop music segment.
Exactly.
Imagine 19-year-old me, Halloween, super Halloween fan. I drug my friends to this movie and like, oh my God.
I know exactly what you're talking about. we got to mention there was an earthquake a few weeks back, maybe a month ago in Northern California, Robert. The Silver Shamrock Factory is no more.
Yeah, well, I don't know. So a fan was there that day, and
really?
he showed me pictures, and did not look in good shape. And I knew it was probably on its last legs anyway. And usually, at some point, when a building structure gets so bad, it's safer
you have to condemn it
to take it down, even though there's probably no money to do that. But there were a lot of silver shamrock bricks on the road, and people were like, I'm sure, I know they're full of asbestos, people. So
don't touch
it. It's up to you if you want to take one home and so forth. But I would be surprised if it's not already probably knocked down pretty soon.
I wouldn't take one home out of the asbestos fear. I'd take some pictures.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't, I don't know if I would take one.
Yeah. So, and Sean Clark had gone out there and did a great video of all the, I've not gone all the way up there to those locations. It's kind of a little too far just for that. But we'll see.
Well, 3 more days to Halloween. I wonder, we're all excited for the big giveaway at 9.
I'm still waiting.
Still waiting. And finally, not finally, but a special treat tonight. Robert, I have a movie trailer that really revolutionized basically cinema. The whole film industry of cinema. And you've mentioned this trailer before. And I'm wearing this great shirt. that you've given me. Thank you. And this is the trailer for Jaws the Revenge, incorrectly referred to as Jaws for the Revenge. It's just Jaws the Revenge.
And I used to know it as Jaws 87.
Explain that again, because this is interesting.
That was the title, and even there's Entertainment Tonight had stories, and it was called Jaws 87. So it was, yes, it was kind of time, you know, where they had Airport 77, Airport 79. This was called Jaws 87, because I think they were trying to get away from more sequels, but then they decided to, obviously they didn't use a number in this, the new title either, so they probably didn't want to date it. But yeah, you can still find Jaws 87 stuff.
And that's so cool. And you did see Jaws, The Revenge theatrically?
I did, and I've talked about this before. I remember that weekend, I had a choice to opening night of Jaws the Revenge or a sneak preview of The Lost Boys.
How would you know, though?
And it might have been reversed, but anyway, I just know it was those two options, and I chose Jaws the Revenge.
You know, but how would you know?
No, I was like, oh, Lorraine Gary is coming back, and
yeah.
How bad can this be?
And didn't you recognize, because the font is noticeably different?
Yeah, the font is not right. It's like, it was it's not Curly Q font, but I'm like, what? This is not. And the opening sequence, the camera keeps going up and down the water. And even like within the first 30 seconds, you're like, I think we should have chosen Lost Boys. You know, but. Oh, shoot. But.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
but you haven't seen the trailer in a while, so.
All right, well, this will be a special treat for ourselves and for you guys listening out there. So this is Jaws the Revenge.
Instinctively, man has always been drawn to the sea. Its beauty, its mystery, its secrets. But there is also a vague uncertainty, a sense of intrusion into an alien world where man is unwelcome and completely at the mercy of the most terrifying predator on Earth. Man's deepest fear has risen again. Jaws, the Revenge. This time, it's personal.
Keep in mind, in the trailer, there's no image of a shark, really. None of the characters.
Yeah, and right, it's at the very end. Yeah.
At the very end. It's a 30-second underwater camera.
And none of that footage is actually in the film, I think.
No, it's not. That's right, another thing. I think thing.
One half a second part. But it almost reminded me of like early Alien 3 trailers, which alluded that we're going to Earth, you know, and
good
it could be
call.
I think it's the same for listeners. For a while it was the same guy that narrated every trailer, so
it's yeah always, that guy yeah. that they did like documentaries on, because
yeah the In a Time, you know, would always start that way. So but yeah, I was like, ooh, another Jaws. Come on, yeah, bring it on,
let's do it. I mean, this time it's personal. What I love about the trailer is they're reading the font on the screen, like, man's deepest fear is coming true or whatever. And I'm like, okay, you're reading. I can read it too. Like, you pick one in trailers typically. You don't do both. It's amazing.
Yeah. And your shirt, your shirt has a different tagline, which is interesting. So
yes, this tagline is man's deepest fear has risen again. And if you look at it, you can Google it too, folks. The artwork of Lorraine Gary stand-in, and it's almost like a Moby Dick thing. So Jaws the Revenge is amazing.
It is. And I saw, obviously, there was a theatrical version, which is different than the video version that came out later, which now I think they the DVDs and Blu-rays have both. But yeah, my version had a character not surviving, and I think now I mix them up, so they literally just use the exact, you know, same 10 seconds of the shark dying from the original Jaws.
Oh, they just like loop it in there?
Yeah, it's like literally when the dead shark is floating down to it is the same.
Yeah, you can see like the stick and it's supposed to be the bone and the
It's exactly the same from the original Jaws, and it's amazing. Because I think I remember, I was like, is that? I'm like, no, they wouldn't do that, you know.
But, and they did.
They did, so.
It's cool. You know what's bad about Jaws the Revenge is, like, for me, Jaws 3 is bad, but I'll watch it every year because it's fun.
It's fun.
Jaws Revenge, I don't ever revisit. It's, like, bad, bad. It's got Michael Caine, and, I mean, there's some good actors in it. They just couldn't do anything for the movie.
Yeah, it's, I was trying to think, there's, the banana boat scene is fine. You know, sure. That's kind of the key scene. But otherwise, and at the time, nobody, later people are like, how did it swim all the way to Bahamas so quickly? And when you're watching the movie, I didn't really think about that. But we just knew it followed her down. But
yeah, it got like 3,500 nautical miles in a day or so. It's pretty amazing.
It's a lean, mean shark.
And comedians have done stand-up bits on this before where you just don't go in the water. You don't need to move to another country to avoid the shark.
And I must, I think I did watch it recently because I think I was looking at the ending because when they put the new ending scenes back on, it is quite obviously when the boat kind of begins to turn over, the stunt people's faces are clear as day. This is not Lorraine Gary or Michael.
Oh, Caine. Yeah. Yeah.
It was
yeah.
just like bad wigs. And I'm like, oh, I think we could have either done a different shot or.
Right. It reminds me of the one Friday the 13th where she falls out the window and you see the stunt guy.
Yes.
Which is that for?
Part seven. Seven. Yeah. Seven. The bad wig. Just
yeah, just falling down.
And then, and there's, you know, here's the thing. The Bahamas, super blue water, whatever. And then they cut Universal Studio Tank and it's like.
Oh, yeah.
It's different film stock. The water is dark and a different sky. And I'm like, you can't even.
No,
match it.
You can't even match it. And I mean, and the film stock is amazing because you can see, you're like, this is not even the same. This is like 35 millimeter versus some kind of other. Yeah. It's like so bizarre.
The Universal's like, you get 16 millimeter for the reshoots.
Yeah, this is what you're getting.
That's all we can afford. So it's kind of a shame on Universal that this is your property. You should have a little bit more respect for it.
I think they should have. And do you remember back in 87? Was this like a highly anticipated movie?
For me, it was.
Were people, but no, but I mean, like Jaws 3 didn't do well, but it was still off the heels of Jaws 2. I'm sure it had a strong opening. Was this like getting a buzz in 87? I feel like it was kind of past the prime.
It was past, and it was kind of, you know, in the 80s, there were summer movies and you would just kind of go to them, but there was no tentpole movies like there is now.
Yeah.
So
right.
There's just kind of all this kind of smattering of movies where, you know, Predator and Lost Boys and Spaceballs and Witches of Eastwick and RoboCop was kind of the sleeper hit, from what I remember, where, we knew it was going to be good. I think one of the James Bonds was, I think might've been the first Timothy Dalton James Bond. I think that was supposed to be.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
A View to a Kill?
How dare you?
No, that's
Roger Moore's last.
The Living Daylights?
Yeah. Roger Moore's was View to Kill. That was his last one. So.
That was that the one with Max Zorin?
Yes.
Yes. That's a good one.
Superman 4. Nobody had high hopes, but that's what Summer of 87 was dealing with. So Jaws 4 was kind of par for the course.
it was in good company.
Yeah. A lot of sequels that year. So
check out Jaws the Revenge, everybody, today.
I think Beverly Hills Cop 2, I think that. So it was a summer of, it's a typical 80s summer. I'll say that.
You must have been busy that summer going to the movies.
Every, I had to go to opening night of every movie.
So you did see The Quest for Peace on opening night.
I did not see that, but
you did not see it in the theater.
No, I was.
Even you knew.
You could smell that one a mile away, and I was 17. I was a little too cool for that, you know.
Yeah.
But
wait, when did you watch it though? That you decided that it was so like fun. Like later, like a lot later.
Yeah. So I eventually saw it on video because I grew up a Superman fan. One and two, and then. I don't think, you know, you get to some point in life where you like to enjoy the bad a little bit.
Of course.
I don't know when that happened, but I think it was around Supergirl time because.
Oh, Supergirl.
That's where things just started to stink, you know, with after Superman 3 and then Super is like, oh, everything kind of stinks.
It was
not
bad.
Not a good time. And now I love the ludicrousness of Supergirl.
Yeah, I watched Supergirl as a kid during its original run. It was like on a. It was very short-lived.
Yeah. Actually, I just saw some interview footage with Brenda Vaccaro. So Brenda Vaccaro was kind of the Otis to Lex Luthor, but for Faye Dunaway, Brenda Vaccaro was like the sidekick, kind of playing the same funny. And it was at the time, because she was on this set, and or had to be relatively, you know, not too long after, because they're like, what was it like to work with Faye Dunaway? And she's like, well, she had her own way of working, you know, like trying to be somewhat nice. But then later she would tell stories of like, she would get mad that she was white, that Brenda Vaccaro was kind of getting the laughs or something like that. And the crew liked her better than Faye.
Oh,
and there was a scene where her and Faye only Faye was on camera, but Brenda Vaccaro was there to feed, you know, go back to have the back and forth. And she had the producer director take her off the set. She goes, I don't want to see her face, you know, like, it was like, whoa. Yeah.
I didn't want to see her face.
Yeah. And that's the Faye Dunaway that we know and love.
Of course. Absolutely. And finally, we're going to do Blind Man's Bluff. This is where a blind man comes on the show and we bluff him during a game of poker. It's very insensitive.
So cruel.
So how this works is I'm going to read a little excerpt from Robert's website at setjetter.com. And then Robert's going to guess it. And we're going to plunge into the magical world of set jetting by Robert's extensive and fantastic website. And that is true. So, Robert, you ready?
Okay. Yeah, I always kind of forget about this, but go for it.
Because you hate it deep down, I think.
Well, I sometimes can't guess my own work, but go ahead.
It's because that there's so many to choose from. It's amazing. So this movie, here's the description.
I hope it's an 87.
This is, so Jaws the Revenge was released. No. excerpt from the setjetter.com reads, this movie, blank, was released on September 28th, 1994. Although I wasn't too much of a fan of the film at the time, it has grown on me over the years. Below are a few of the locations I visited. Oh, that's a tough one.
That does not.
There's no clues in there.
There is not. September of 94. What's been happening? What was happening? I was 24 years old.
Oh, okay.
I was youngin.
So this movie features a very famous now actor becoming. He was pretty famous at the time, actually.
Yeah.
But this is a black and white film. 1994.
A black and white film in 94?
Locations are mostly or all, according to this entry, in Los Angeles.
It was in black and white?
Black and white.
Why don't I know this? I feel like that's probably a big clue.
I'm going to read you an excerpt from one of the
all right.
descriptions, and if you don't know it, I'm just going to give a reveal.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Ed's second apartment is located at 6383 Yucca Street in Los Angeles.
I got it. Ed Wood.
Ed Wood, ladies and gentlemen.
I was like, what film would possibly be in black and white?
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
It is a tough one.
Yeah.
All right. So this is Ed Wood. This is a fun entry, though. Do you remember doing these shots?
Yeah. I remember some of these had not been found at the time, and I remember I had to do some work to find it. So... The obviously kind of around Los Angeles. Bordner's has been in all sorts of movies. It's right off of Hollywood Boulevard, so everybody's pretty familiar with that. So.
And also the scene of a major crime this weekend. Los Angeles, really? There's a shooting there. Like three people got shot.
Oh, geez.
And it's been all over Hollywood. The news.
Hollywood.
Cherokee and this is Cherokee and Hollywood?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's where it was. So, yeah. Good old Hollywood.
Way to go, Hollywood.
But, yeah, I know this area. This is cool. These are great shots.
Yeah. Obviously,
classic.
Christian Frank Grill will always be there. I can't imagine that ever going away. So,
no. I think it was here that, was it Clark Gable and somebody else? They would like drag race for pink slips in front after drinking here. There was like some old stories from like the 30s where they would get drunk and then they'd come out and like race their cars. It was like when Hollywood was a small kind of town.
I would not be surprised. So. Yeah. But yeah, so a lot of these in Hollywood, here's Ed's first apartment that you're alluding to, which North Ogden, I don't think that's not too far from, I think it's kind of off Wilshire, kind of down the ways a bit. So.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm thinking correctly. So, the movie within a movie. it's always interesting that obviously they have to take down signs and do all sorts of stuff. At 94, this was, obviously, they weren't they didn't have the CGI capabilities like we do now to just delete the sign, you know, or, you know, pay them over and so forth. But also, you know, obviously Quentin Tarantino also refused to do that for Hollywood. He wanted everything done in camera, which I appreciate, on actual Hollywood Boulevard itself. So,
oh, for Once Upon a Time?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, did he really?
Oh, yeah. They just really transformed.
Everything. I had no idea, because I watched that and I'm like, how did they, oh, they must have just digitally did that.
No, there's a lot of people have a lot of pictures and behind the scenes that they, all the storefronts, pretty much everything on one side they did. And I think they came back and then did the other for the reverse. And so that's probably why it took so long. But that's why I do appreciate Quentin, as you know, as authentic as you can get. So
that is authentic.
So a lot of these, yeah, they're just right off Hollywood Boulevard and pretty easy to find.
Pretty cool.
And this one's kind of grown over his second apartment.
Yucca Street?
Barely. Yeah, I did not find that one myself. So Toluca Lake, which is actually right next to Burbank. So I drive by this church many times.
Oh, yeah. I wonder where this is. Very cool.
And of course, some LA main stage, the different theaters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, cool. And
I'm trying to think where else I've been as I'm going through this. I haven't revisited. Oh, so this is the one it took me a while to find, but I kind of used some clues, obviously, to figure out where the studio was. And so there's another part of the studio angle that I did not get that somebody had found since I visited. So I'll have to go fix that sometime.
Where's Cosmo Street? Is that like downtown somewhere?
It is not too. No, it's right off Hollywood, a little bit the other way. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I remember. I don't even know where Gardena, California is, but I was there.
But you were there. You
yeah, got I was it. There.
You're a completist.
And of course, Vampira is at Hollywood Forever, and Bella. I'm not sure where he's buried, but he has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Oh yeah.
Not that I'm promoting the Hollywood Walk of Fame by any means.
No. No way. But this is a really cool entry to the to your site, though.
Yeah, I need to update it because like I've met Juliette Lewis. Is that her name?
Yeah, Juliette Lewis.
Juliette Landau, sorry.
Oh. I think so.
Because she's in that film, I think. So, yeah. So.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I think I've been to a couple locations. But, yeah. So, Edward, I did not. I think people were throwing ice at us in the movie, if I remember right. Movies were a little bit different. So
what do you mean, throwing ice?
I think somebody was throwing ice at us from behind during the movie.
For what? To be malicious?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
These things happened in the 90s.
Not at the Alamo, they didn't.
Not at the Alamo. We don't put up with that. So I think sometimes I have a bad connotation.
I don't blame you. That's terrible. Yeah.
But yeah, so I think it's still, I still enjoy Ed Wood.
Yeah, it's a fine movie.
Probably at the, not necessarily at the prime for director, lead actor, because they went on to do how many? Overkill. Yeah.
Yeah. Beat into the ground. But at the time, it was fresh.
Yeah.
Refreshing. So interesting story, too. So, yeah, that's a great page.
It's a good watch. Yeah.
Randomly generated, too. So it was interesting that.
Yeah. I'm always worried because we've had randomly generated where it's like one location. I'm like, and it doesn't even screen match. I'm like, ugh. Fail.
Right. One location. It's a blog entry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. And it's a picture of you when you were 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say it was my favorite film.
You have great great work. Why don't you cover Franny Goldsmith's house?
Why don't you visit that?
Why don't you visit that? I don't know. Why don't you visit it? Keyboard Warrior. Fun. That'll be our show tonight, unless you had anything else.
No, it's good. Just a good way to start the new year.
Yeah. Get back in the saddle. We got some shows coming up in a few weeks, too. We have Sundance. We're going to do some recaps. Those are always fun. We've done that every year. You kind of give a little insight of what you saw.
Sneak peek to see what you should watch in the coming year.
Are you going to get your M&Ms in the mail? Have you already gotten them?
Not, we have not yet, so we're not sure. So we usually get, or my sister gets, the VIP package where you get a...
Oh, really? She splurges.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't mess around, you know. That.
Yeah, those are like $700, right?
I probably worth guess, it. So yeah, but yeah, for the time you get tickets, and they send like a DoorDash card, and then they send this kind of tin Sundance tin of different products and so forth. So it's fun. And Sundance blankets and so forth.
Hey, if you're going to do it right. Go all the way, you know.
And I usually take a few days off because it's work to watch 4+ movies a day.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
And you watch them all on your OLED?
I don't know. We've actually only watched them upstairs, but we will see. We might have to continue because of the cats. If the cats get too needy, they're not. Cats aren't allowed downstairs. I guess.
Oh no. Okay.
One cat is not allowed downstairs.
Murphy. Well, be a man, is what Murphy always says.
Oh yeah. So I was at a animal shelter in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Amazing.
For a meeting, and so during a break, I took a look at some of the cats, and one of the cats was called Man Man. Yeah, and I thought immediately, like, be a man, man. I don't know if you saw that on the little title.
Oh card. Yeah, from Friday the 13th.
Yeah,
3.
Yeah, so I was like, maybe it's a part 3 fan. That
is it. Chili that says that.
Yeah. Be a man.
Be a man, man. Oh, I love it. That's so funny. I like that you go to Lincoln for stuff like the Capitol. Very official of you.
I'm on a board that it's kind of central, or it's statewide, and they have to have meetings in Lincoln sometimes. So sometimes I have to make the long trip. It's actually less than an hour from my house. But
I was going
to
ask you how far it is.
It's going through highway. I mean, I kind of take interstate partway and then highways. So
okay,
I go through some, well, not right now, but during season, Children of the Corn.
Oh yeah,
areas right by Gatlin.
By Gatlin. And by the way, since public service announcement, if you're cold, they're cold. If you see a Children of the Corn, bring them inside during these cold winter months because they're freezing out there.
Weren't we going to make a meme?
I have to make a meme of that. I got to make a note.
I forgot about that. I think, yes, I sent an Isaac picture, I think, of looking in the window. I do think about that. It's like, it's not as scary, you know, Nebraska back roads are not as scary as Texas back roads, for sure.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't imagine. The pictures you've shown me of some of those Texas back roads, it's like, I don't want to be there alone.
I know. I will be cannibalized. I know it.
You know what scares me about Texas? Is how big it is. Like, okay. I mean, it's all relevant. Nebraska or Pennsylvania are both big states, so you're fucked anyway if you're in a bad, you know, or any state is big. But Texas is just so big. It's like half the country. It's just massive. Well,
if the width is probably a third to fourth of, you know.
Yeah.
If, you know, end to end, whatever, and I'm not sure their land mass versus kind of like the Rhode Islands of, you know.
Right.
The size of Dallas. I don't know. But
it's just too big.
It's kind of, and there's just a lot of few and far between. And when I would do locations there, I would feel like I'm in Texas Chainsaw territory. And I was like, should I have a gun? I don't know.
Right. What do I do? It's so crazy.
Plus, it's Texas.
Exactly. Yeah. It's already scary. But that'll be our show. Robert Patterson, setjetter.com. Thank you, sir, for always making the time.
Always good to see you.
Always good to see you, too. And thank you for listening. We will see you on the set.
Personal genie, you know I keep that hip hop, man, niggas.